I'm Darcy Sky.
I'm Luna Crow.
And this is Ripe, where we inspire one another and learn together while we peek into the world that comes next and ripen into the most delicious expressions of ourselves. Hello, my friend.
Hello.
I have a question for you. Earlier today, you were talking about, you and I were talking about this time of year. I was mentioning like, woof, the fall, moving into fall and then the winter after. And you said something like, this is a time of disillusionment. Mm-hmm. And you also said the last time we met, for our Ripe recording, you said that love is decay for you. Will you talk about those things?
Oh, Darcy.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
I do. Well, you know, I'm a fall baby, you know, mm-hmm. I was born the very kind of beginning of fall in early October. And so I think because my birthday is this time of year, I really paid attention mm-hmm. even before I really tracked the seasons or tracked the cycle of the moon or followed, you know, tried to link in with the patterns of the stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I paid attention during fall because it was my birthday and it was, you know, it was something to notice year after year, the differences of the season. It was right, you know, not long after school, mm-hmm. you know, started growing up and all those things. And so it's one of the few kind of markers of the wheel turning that I've really been paying attention to for a very long time, 3 decades, nearly mm-hmm. 4 decades now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as I've over the years, particularly the last maybe 10 years, really started to sink in deeply with the energy of seasons, with the sort of ways that I feel and I live in different seasons, I've really become a lot more sensitive to the part of fall that shows us how to let go of what's ready to die. And my relationship to death and to letting go had for so much of my kind of conditioning been about, you know, something to grieve. You know, there must be like, it must feel like loss. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I really feel fall and the season of autumn and the wisdom of the trees telling me a little different story or maybe a little more nuance okay. as we sink into the season that's showing us how to be in relationship with what is dying. As, you know, the trees let go of their leaves, my human conditioning might tell me that that's sad, that, oh, they're losing their beautiful leaves, but watching their vibrant colors as they transition from chlorophyll full green
yes.
to their yellows and their reds and their oranges and their browns. And as they fall to the ground and they become churned into the dirt, into the soil, and they're feeding so much life in that act. And it's in fact part of what keeps the soil around the trees well fed and nourishing. That it's there's an act of giving in that release that says the tree is done. It's its time to drop its leaves. The tree is done with those leaves. It's no, there's no goodness in hanging on to those leaves. And dropping them feeds a whole web and also feeds the body of that very tree. Mm. And that's why I just feel in that, like, there's a way to look at our lives as mutually interdependent that says what I have to give or what I'm ready to release might just be the nourishment that someone else or some other ones need to thrive. It doesn't have to be this, like, in order, you know, like, to let go of something, it means I must be losing something. Like, it's being ripped from my hands, you know, this very sort of possessive oriented view.
Yes.
That
maybe
simply letting go of what I'm just, it's my season to be done with, can be a restoring, replenishing act for both myself and for others in my own web.
I'm thinking about that ritual that you did last Samhain.
When I burned everything?
Yes. That was jarring for me when you told me that that's what you had done for your Samhain ritual around on Halloween night. Will you talk about that?
Sure. Yeah. So nearly a year ago, Samhain of 2017, you know, I just felt this, I was almost like an urgency around clearing. You know, I had moved to Portland. We had been in Portland for about a year. I had been working for the first time in my life in a really deliberate agency around creating the structures of my life in the image that I wanted. And that was powerful. That was really like the 2 years leading up to last Samhain. But I felt like I had arrived and I had kind of outgrown my intentions, my spells, my prayers, my writing from this sort of previous season of working with the greater forces of the earth and the universe for my own life and my own will. And so I burned everything. I burned every spell I had tucked away. I burned every prayer I had written. I burned things I had written for others. I just took some time to release the energy stored in my words and my intentions, in the energy forms I was putting out, saying, this is what I want my life to be and become. And I just let go of the form. I let the form go. I released the need to control the shape that it took. And I didn't know where life would go. You know, I didn't really know, but I kind of made room to be surprised by the form and the shape my life might take and be a little less human contrived.
Yeah, I remember for me when you told me that you did that, like in the abstract, I was like, yeah, awesome, way to go. And then you told me about one piece of artwork in particular that you burned. And I was like, what? Not that one. You know, like it was this thing of great beauty that I remember your process in making. And I remember you sharing it with the group at the time and the circle that we were in, sharing it and it being very meaningful to me and many others in the group and gorgeous. And I remember many of us having a new relationship with salt because of how you would use salt. And, you know, it was a learning piece of beauty for me. And when I heard that you burned it, number one, I felt like, oh my gosh, that one too. And I thought, wow, she's really serious about welcoming what's to come.
Yeah, that art represented a year-long spell I had been working that was May the Good Road Open. And the good road did in my life. And I had made art out of the wax of candles that we had burned together in our teachings together and our offerings and our community connections together. All that wax from all those candles I had poured into the good road.
And there was glitter in it too.
Yeah. I sprinkled salt and glitter over it, you know, and just my own, like, this is what good means to me was what I was putting into that wax. Like, this is what good means to me. May that the good road open. And I love that spell. I would have, I hope I get a nudge to work that spell again. But last year it felt like, you know, it had done its job in my life. It was complete. Not that, you know, not to make room to drop that, to release that energy isn't to say like may the bad rose open or may the rose close, or, you know, but it's just like, I see that you came alive in my life.
Wow.
And it's time to take the next step, to make the next move, to work the next set of spells and prayers. And boy, did it, you know. And this year I didn't do anything so dramatic, but I also this year really spent, since I burned all those spells, really felt myself in this dormant state, which to to our capitalist trained bodies says, like, oh, dear God, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Dormant. We're not supposed to be dormant.
Shame on you.
Exactly. And I really went dormant in the sense of I pulled my resources internal for myself and connected in deeply with the practices that nourish my life, that nourish myself, and didn't do a lot of like, how will I use this juicy, delicious experience I'm having to like teach about it or like give something out for, you know, but just like really like, and it really cooked me in a different way. It deepened my connection to my wise and well ones. It sparked to life an ancestor reverence in me that has carried me through, that I now get to rely on a bit. You know, I learned and remembered things that in my own lineage, in my own life, had been dormant for many, many generations.
Whoa.
And so to take that and be able to give ourselves the gift of not being in bloom for other people to feed on our delicious nectar and pollen and all of those things is like to take that time, to take that season of dormancy for ourselves, so that when I came out of that, which I really just feel like I'm just this season, just this fall, starting to really come out, part of our conversations is a big piece of that.
Yes.
I have a deeper connection to myself. I have less fear. I have less concern over people's thoughts about what I have to say or not, or otherwise. I just feel more connected and sure of myself. And I know a huge part of that is because I can now feel that intergenerational support of my wise and well guides and my ancestors in a link. I'm more linked in. And so taking the moves that a year ago felt very bold now feel have an ease to them.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know? So that was that spell. And it very much is of this season to me. It reminds me of, you know, the lessons of it's okay to go dormant. It's okay to let things decay, disintegrate, to allow ourselves to be disillusioned, come apart, come undone. That could be part of what is healing for us and lets us be sewn back together in the right time in a way that makes our roots strong and our trunk sturdy and our branches flexible to blow with the winds of these times.
Yes. the feeling for me in this particular season's disillusionment has a coming undone that, you know, I don't feel active in like a comfortable observer role, seeing it going, ah, yes, of course. The wisdom of this time, the wisdom of this season. You know, I feel fully engaged in the coming undone. And I just kept thinking about you saying, love is decay. Love is decay. Yeah, can you talk more about that?
Yeah. I want to pick up one of the pieces of that that I think. I think there's a power waiting for us when we are courageous enough to let our fantasies be shattered. And that is a bit of working that spell of disillusionment. You know, and it's not the disillusionment that is, you know, entirely pessimistic, but it's the disillusionment that says, you know, I want to see my life clearly as it is. I want to take in this moment as it is, unfiltered by how I want it to be.
Yes, yes.
And it's a brave act. It's hard.
Yes.
To choose to see. So, you know, we look at these times, we're here the morning after the midterms, you know, it's hard to take in.
Yes.
The terrifying state of things, or, you know, the real parts of our lives that, you know, could keep us up at night every night of the week if we, if we let it. But there's something about, you know, letting our illusions fall and still holding ourselves well through that. And to me, that's holding ourselves through,
that's,
you know,
it. That's it. You put your finger on, that's what I've been feeling. Yeah.
Loving yourself through that level or that quality of truth seeing, it's hard. It's a love that has a strength to it that can sort of hold together our most precious core, even while these trappings or defenses or wait, deeply ingrained habits and patterns fall away. Like that's what we're allowing to decay. That's the disillusionment that's falling. And meanwhile, that love wraps itself around the core of who you are, the one that is championing you to get through this time, this season of decay in a good, well way. Like that's love that holds that core together, but it's like a surrendering or a releasing of even deeply held patterns that have served us well for good reasons in our lives, but choosing to let them go in order to have a more real, a more truthful experience of ourselves and build our lives back from that place that's fully yours, fully mine.
Wow. That linked to, you know, that particular process, sort of owning the power in that particular process and seeing the love that is present to help us do that, like you said, in a good way, that connected to a possibility of freedom that I hadn't been connecting to. This time is one of disillusionment, or love is decay. Like I hadn't connected that to a sense of personal power and freedom. But it links right there to it. It makes that process of disillusionment holy.
Holy.
And also so natural, so reflected in nature around us and here in the Northern Hemisphere of the planet.
To me, when we are, you know, when we are born, we, you know, we're born into a set of patterns that we inherit from the ones who gave us our body, our blood, our bones, the double helix of our unique DNA that comes with a set of, you know, of patterns that we inherit. This is the patterning of the proteins that make up our DNA. And part of what is liberation to me, you know, when I pray the prayer, you know, may the many worlds of liberation come through you and me in the here and now. Part of that prayer for myself, for you, is that we get a chance to see some of what we've inherited so that we have choice to let go of some of that that no longer serves us, that might have served our lineage well in surviving and allowing us to be born and allowing us to get this moment at wearing bodies and being alive, yes. But that we don't choose to carry. And that's you know, that tension between holding to what is core, bound by love, and what is decay, what is a gift of decay, to releasing that energy of good work, beautiful work, even some of the most precious work our lineage has done, and letting it go so that it can become the next iteration, so that energy is available for what you want to build, what I want to build through our lives, create, to make, to bring forth. That's what I mean by disillusionment. That's what I mean by love is decay. That there's so much love and gratitude for all the ways we've survived to get us here. And there are things I'm ready to be done with. And I get to make that choice because I have the privilege of being alive right now, wearing this body. And that is liberating. That's powerful. That's freedom. Big part of what liberation means to me.
It makes me chuckle thinking that if we had begun our conversation in a different season, you likely would have had a different word after love. Love is.
That's true.
And I like that. I like how right? It makes me think of how we spiral through so many things, and we are in this time, in this season, and it makes us, it remakes us, it unmakes us. We're in it. Luna Crow, you allow yourself to be in the time that you're in, and you allow yourself to see and learn what it's showing you in this moment, in this time, in this season. And that's so cool.
I've always been a fan of the easier path. And I think it's just easier to live. It feels more easeful to live. You know, our dear friend Wildheart says, you know, one of her prayers is that may she walk in pace with the unfolding of her life.
Yes.
And I feel that when I walk in pace with the unfolding of my life, which is to walk in pace with the seasons of a bit of surrender, of releasing expectations, of trusting the greater whole, of allowing myself to be interdependent and interwoven. It's easier. It's got an easefulness where things then get to move through me with less resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really just the easier path, you know, to me. Not that it's always easy. And I think, of course. But it has more of a faith in the process, a trust in myself.
Yes, it does.
I feel held in it. I don't feel alone.
Yes.
Even when I struggle, you know, even with when my emotions and feelings are big and rocky and wavy, I can feel held around, you know, I can feel the edge of those emotions and know they aren't, you know, they won't go on forever.
Yeah. I experience it like when we're in a time, right? Whether it's a season or we're talking about astrological moments or lunar moments. And I notice for you, it feels like you can just say, what am I feeling in this time? And you can, to what I see, it's like you can connect to the bigness, whether you're looking at it from a lunar perspective, you know, new moon or full moon, or, you know, astrologically with the signs and the whatever. It's like I see you having an access point in present time to those larger forces. And it's so intriguing to me because whenever I see you do that, I do that myself too. Like, okay, yeah, me too. Like, what do I feel in this time? And the first thing that I feel is my hope. What my hope often shows up as is like a really kind of stagnant rule almost. It like has a rigidity of a rule of it, of like things are getting better. I'm becoming more, I'm growing more. It has I both hold that I love about myself that I'm a lover of life and growth, and I love those things. And so I know part of it is authentic, but another part of it I do believe is woven into bigger, better, faster, stronger, a sense of pressure to perform and achieve.
Mm.
I do feel in your ability to ask yourself a present moment question of what am I feeling in this time, and getting an answer that's so often so interesting to me or kind of, you know, full of like wisdom in this moment of this time. It does feel like there's an aspect where you've let go of that spell that I'm still noticing myself under, that achievement spell or that sense of, that thing that I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's nourishing to hear that reflection of me in your words. Yeah, yeah. Darcy. It really is. I also, you know, I feel like none of us, you know, in this time on this continent, on these lands, you know, are fully free from the spellbind that is capitalism. But I do feel that so much, I feel like a lot of this was inoculated in my lineage before I even got here. So I had a bit of a sort of inherited immunity to the pressure to produce, or that my value is tied to my production.
What do you mean, inherited immunity? What do you mean?
Well, you know, I come from poor folk, mm-hmm. you know, and happy folk. Mm. And, you know, I just think about my mom and my dad, and my childhood was so, to me as the kid living it, was so joyful and carefree and, you know, lots of laughter in my house. And my mom is very funny and just, you know, a really delightful way to grow up, not realizing the stress that my parents must have carried around, like, making ends meet, you know. And like, I remember, you know, growing up, my mom had on the back of her closet this, like, it was like one of those shoe holders, you know, and she would have envelopes or stacks of cash that she would put in. It'd be like water bill, you know, it would be like, you know, and when we want to do something fun, my mom would look at her wall and she would pull money from, like, okay, well, I think we could do that now because we can pull from the water bill. It won't be due till later. And like, that's how we will, whatever, insert X, go to the movies, you know, buy school clothes. Yes. And at the time, I just felt like, that's just good budgeting. Yes. You know, that's good resource management. Not realizing what a breath away from, you know, scarcity could have been a very present theme in my childhood. And instead, I was gifted a feeling of extraordinary abundance.
Mm.
And just loving connection and loving life and family. And I think that's what I mean. When I mean, I feel like I was inoculated a bit that, you know, my parents gave the gift to me of they did never tie, like, my value or esteem in their eyes was never related to what I produced or how well I did what, you know, like, any, you know what I mean? They were just so, just, you know, I felt anyway, proud of me. No matter what, you know, I had that feeling that they, you know, they had my back and loved, just delighted in who I was becoming, regardless of, you know, A's on report cards or, you know, achievements in school or whatnot.
Your track story of quote unquote running track.
I do think that one hurt my dad. Yeah, it's like, my version of, like, being competitive was like a waterfall start, which I didn't even know what this was at the time, but in track and, like, the big heats, you know, all the you know, racers, competitors would, like, you know, all start at once in this, like, waterfall start, not in each one person in each lane, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, of course, like, oh, pardon me, excuse me, sorry, pardon
oh,
me.
Oh, did you want to get past?
Go ahead.
You know? You're doing great.
Like, it never occurred to me to be, like, to desire to be at the front of the pack, like, that would give you an edge so you could win, you know? It's just like, I don't know. My dad in the stands, like, get to the front. I'm like, hi, Daddy. You know, it's like, you know, my parents cheered me on regardless. Like, go, Leanne, go. Like, yeah, look at me go. Like, you know. Oh, my. Yeah, but that is a wonderful story that has, like, fed me for years and years and years about just the joy of being Mike and Ann's daughter. And but also part of what I mean by, like, there was a gift of being born to those two that protected me from some of the stories of capitalism that has felt very safe, you know, and had a, you know, had a very, have a very practical view of capitalism. So I don't have the privilege of, you know, a family with means as a kind of safety net. So I've always, you know, had to, like, make my way, you know, paying bills and, you know, earning a livelihood through capitalism. But seeing that for what it was, again, yeah, seeing that through the sort of mirage that was somehow tied to my value.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were able to see it clearly. And so when you, I experienced in you, when you make money through capitalism, you have so little, your sense of personhood is so unattached to that.
Yes. Yes. And it's let me take in income from such a variety of sources and feel okay about that. Like, be very clear of when I'm doing a project for, you know, when I'm selling my time for capitalism, for livelihood, and when I'm doing things that are part of my heart's calling, as yes, you said to me so many years ago, you know, part of doing what helps to sing me alive, and letting and being comfortable with that, with there being compromise in paying my bills, and feeling a sense of liberation in that, even though I just simply because I recognize where I'm beholden and where I'm not, and I'm not confused. You know, I'm
not confused. Fighting against a piece, if there is a. Right. You're seeing it with clear eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or clearer eyes. You know, clearer, it's like certainly learning, still a learning.
Absolutely.
But absolutely. Yeah. But I think that's part of what lets me find a sense of peace in a season of decay, of dormancy, is that I don't feel there's a chord that I think is so easily plucked that plucks, you know, something that sounds like shame when we are not producing, or when we produce things and that are just for ourselves. Mm. You know, I don't feel that. That doesn't pull that out of me. And I'm grateful for that. I very much feel that as a connection to, you know, who my people are, who got me here.
Mm-hmm. And I see where you can connect it. Like, you could see where love is required in this moment, in this season, sort of like the role of love. Like, you can see, I feel like you can see that with clearer eyes as well. So where it may, like with the, you know, the harsh edges, with the loss, right? The loss of the leaves, the loss of the patterns, the loss of the habits, the loss of what we're releasing, you know, I can bring you my harsh feelings, right? My heart, the feelings of harshness around it, and you can help me find the love that's right there.
Mm. Mm.